Hello, thanks for the introduction. I just would like to acknowledge my advisor, Kevin Fu, and my collaborators from Texas A&M and University of Massachusetts Amherst. I know that you are all here to learn about large-scale, thank you, to learn about large-scale storage systems, but I'm just gonna focus on small devices, which you can also see here in the ceiling, smoke detectors. So the scope of my work is on storage on embedded devices, example of which are thermostats, smoke detectors, pacemakers, which are medical devices that get implanted inside the body, and 12-8 payment transponders. All of these devices are limited in terms of energy, and all of them use microcontrollers. Just to give you a picture of how popular these devices are, the market size for microcontrollers is larger than $10 billion per year. And one characteristic that all of these low-power devices have in common is that all of them use flash memory, but in very small scale, and their flash memory is embedded on the same chip as their CPU. Well, that's not the case for solid-state drives. The flash memory in the solid-state drive is separate from the CPU, from the chip that is working. Now, let's just focus on one of these devices, the smoke detector that we have in this room. Open it up. Let's see what's inside. What we have found is that there's a microcontroller inside with 8 kilobytes of flash memory. I know that's very small for a larger scale, but that's necessary for these small devices. This microcontroller happened to be from Microchip. We look at the datasheet, and datasheet tells us the CPU requires only 2.2 volts to operate, but the flash memory requires much higher amount of voltage, for example, 4.0 volt. Well, what would be the ideal case for such a microcontroller? Since the different components on this microcontroller require different voltage level, you would think that they have separate power rails, and therefore the energy consumption would be proportional to the workload. That means if you are using CPU, your energy consumption would be low since your operating voltage is low. But if you are switching to flash memory, then sometimes your energy consumption goes high, and that's okay. But unfortunately, the reality is different. In practice, both components or all the components on the chip would need to share the same power rail because of the complexity of design of the hardware. What does that mean? That would mean that your energy consumption would be high regardless of the workload. So no matter you are using CPU or flash memory, you would operate at high voltage, and therefore you would consume a lot of energy. The goal of this work is to just reduce that wasted energy for embedded storage for these low-power devices. And in achieving this goal, we have developed software techniques that lets flash memory operate at low voltage, and at the same time, we could save some energy. We have quantified the impact of our methods on the reliability of storage. We have also measured how much energy and when we can save some energy for these low-power devices. Before I go on and explain our methods a little more, I just want to tell you about the state of the art. As I said, usually what happens is that the developers pick the highest voltage required by among the components on the chip, and that would result in excessive power consumption. Well, there is another approach. You could just add some hardware so that your device could scale dynamically scale its voltage depending on which component it's using. But that would mean increasing the complexity of the design, adding requiring more space on the chip, and probably increasing the cost of the chip. There is yet another easier solution. Let's just forget about flash memory altogether. That's what Intel developers did for the computational RFID tag. This RFID tag doesn't have a battery. It just harvests its energy and stores it on a capacitor. Here is one example of the voltage stored into the capacitor. The dashed line shows you how much voltage you need to have a reliable storage. So what Intel developer did was that they thought it's more important to give this device longer lifetime, even if that means a few minutes, instead of giving it access to flash memory. What do we suggest? So that we could have the best of both worlds, have access to flash memory, but still lower the energy consumption. We suggest to operate the device at a lower voltage, lower than what your data sheet suggests. And then probably you would end up having some errors, but that's okay. We deal with the errors, with the occasional errors. And I'm going to show you in which space and when you are able to save some energy using this method. Before I go on, I just want to remind you of old days when you would store everything on a punch card. You would have a key punch machine which would punch holes into the card. And your card wouldn't be rewritable again. That's, that notion is similar to flash memory. Flash memory is also write once bits, or as Rivers and Shamir call them, bits, which means that if you write something, you cannot rewrite that cell unless you call an erase operation. Now, let's imagine your key punch machine doesn't work well for some reason, and therefore you don't get perfect holes punched on the card. We coined the term half-wit to refer to those halfly punched holes on the card. And in our case, the key punch machine doesn't work well because we are operating at low voltage, and therefore we don't get enough charge stored in a flash cell to represent a zero. Let's have a closer look. Let's have a look at an example of when writes fail. In a NOR flash memory, all the flash cells are born as ones. They are all initialized as ones. Let's say you want to write a number which its two least significant bits are zero. What does that mean? You would have two 1-to-0 transition. And now you're operating at low voltage. You don't have enough voltage to store enough charge in a cell. And then one of those transitions might fail. You wouldn't get the number you want. The result would be different. So just remember, when you are doing a write, the 1-to-0 transition might fail because you are operating at low voltage. But obviously, the 1-to-1 transition doesn't fail because essentially you aren't changing anything. And you wouldn't have any 0-to-1 transitions because flash memory is not rewritable. This asymmetric binary channel is referred to as Z channel in the information theory community. Now that you have seen what happens at low voltage, we get errors. Let's see what affects those errors. We have considered a few variables. First of all, the operating voltage level. Also, the Hamming weight of the data you are storing to the flash memory, which means the number of ones in the binary representation of your number. And also, the wear out history of flash memory, how often you have used flash memory. These three factors seem to be the most effective on the error rate. We have also considered two other variables which doesn't seem to affect the error rate that greatly. Before I go on continue explaining about those variables, I just want to show you our not very messy experimental setup. We use microcontrollers from Texas Instruments, both as a test platform as and a monitor. The test platform would be connected to a voltage supply. You could tune the voltage, and the test platform would run the program you desire. And once it had computed its error rate, it's going to transfer everything to the monitor. The monitor is going to log everything in its flash memory, and it's connected to a computer using a JTAG. And so that we don't errors in logging the errors, we are giving the monitor enough voltage. Here's the result for one microcontroller. This is a microcontroller from Texas Instruments. The microcontroller was suggested to operate at least 2.2 volt to give you a reliable storage. Well, you can see well before 2.2, we are hitting about 0% error rate. Here is another chip from the same model. And also, I have results for two other chips from a different model. For the second model, it was suggested to operate at least 2.7 volts. You can see that the same trends hold for all of these microcontrollers. One lesson from this figure is that You can operate at low voltage, and probably there are intervals of voltage that you don't get much error, and you can deal with the errors. Moreover, we should notice that the error rate varies chip by chip. So you cannot just go and choose one voltage and think that the error won't happen. You should always consider the probability of error happening. Another factor that we considered was the Hamming weight of the data you are storing to flash memory. As I said, the Hamming weight is the number of ones in the binary representation of a number. So if the Hamming weight of a number is higher, if you have more number of ones, you need to set fewer cells to zero. Therefore, the probability of error would decrease. That's what the experiment tells us. One lesson that we can take from this graph is that when you can and if you can, just try to store numbers with higher Hamming weights, because the heavier the number, the higher the reliability of your storage would become. The final variable that I'm going to talk about is the wear out history of flash memory. Here I'm showing a heat map of flash memory, three blocks of flash memory, and the darker the color shows a lower error rate. You can see that you can distinguish one block which is darker than the rest. Well, that's the block that we intentionally use most often to observe the effect of using flash memory on error rate. The intuition for why this happened is that flash memory has a limited number of erase cycles. After a while, it gets harder to erase flash memory. And for that exact reason, it gets easier to write to flash memory. You would be easier able to write to the flash memory. The takeaway message from this graph is that if you can, you should try to write to more than one location, and especially in more than one blocks of flash memory, hoping that you get it stored in one of the locations successfully. In addition to these three variables that I talked, I just want you to notice one characteristic of flash memory, and that is the accumulative behavior of flash memory. That means every time you try to write something into a flash cell, you store some charge into that flash cell. And the next time you try, you would accumulate a little more. And finally, you have enough charge stored in that cell to represent a zero. So here I'm going to move on to our design. We had a standard simple model for our flash memory, and set of cells, each of which could be set to zero or one. All of them in the beginning are set to one. And updating flash memory would mean that you just want to set a subset of those cells to zero. And remember, this is a write once bit storage, so you cannot just rewrite something back to it. The same model holds at low voltage, but there is just one difference, and that is when you are trying to set some of those cells to zero, those might fail. And that is because you do not have enough charge stored in one cell to call it a zero. That's what we refer to as half bits. Our goals to design a low voltage flash memory are minimizing the energy consumption, because these little devices that we are working on are very limited in terms of energy. We would like to minimize the error rate so that we provide a reliable storage, and also we would like to minimize the delay. Having those goals in mind, we propose three techniques: in-place writes, multiple place writes, and Reed-Solomon-Berger code, which is an error correction code technique. The first two were the most effective ones, so I'm just going to focus on those two and refer you to the paper for the third approach. I want to talk about our negative logic, and I know it's a bit early for beer, even for this Usenix crowd, but still, I'm going to use a mug as a flash cell, and I'm going to use beer as a charge that gets stored in the flash memory, and that's, in the beginning, your mug is empty, and that represents a one, and your goal is to have a full mug of beer. So in-place writes is a simple approach. If you fail to set a cell to zero, just try again. Let's see an example. You have an empty mug, you try to fill it, you fail once, you try again, and finally you get it filled, and then you can represent zero. Now let's see if in-place writes are really effective on the error rate. If in-place writes were ineffective, you would see about the same error rate, that blue line up there. You would always see about the same error rate no matter how many times you try to rewrite flash memory. But if it was effective, you would see a sudden drop in the error rate. You would see that suddenly you have made the error rate to go to zero. Well, here's the result. We have tried error in-place writes at 1.87 volts, and you can see that after we tried about four times, the error rate goes to zero. I have more results for more voltage levels. And you can see that it's fairly easy to achieve reliability by just rewriting to the flash memory the same number over and over. The second approach is also easy. Let's say you have two mics. You have more than one place to store your data. You write to both locations. You get it right in one of them. You don't get it right in the other one. I'm biased towards UMass, so the UMass mic get filled easily. And then to retrieve the data, you just get the end of those cells. Well, there you have it, a full glass. So now here's the result for the same for the multiple place approach. You can see that multiple place write approach is also effective, but we have more data in the paper which confirms in-place writes has a better performance in terms of reliability, and that is because in-place writes is taking advantage of the accumulative behavior of flash memory. So far I talked about error rate, how we are doing in terms of error rate. Now I'm going to move on to energy consumption and the delay of our approaches. To evaluate our system, we chose a workload which stores accelerometer data into flash memory. We let the in-place writes repeat its writes about two times if necessary, and the multiple place writes could choose up to two locations. Well, here's the result for energy consumption and time. You can see that both of them are very close, but in-place writes is doing a little bit better. So from here on, I'm going to choose in-place writes as our method for low voltage and compare it to just by just working using the standard approach of running your microcontroller at high voltage, at the recommended voltage. The first workload that we tried was RC5. RC5 is an encryption algorithm which only requires your CPU. It doesn't need the flash memory. And here you can see the normalized energy consumption for working at low voltage or high voltage. The blue lines are the low voltage, and you can see that with a factor of two, the in-place write is doing better than just working at high voltage. Another workload that we tried was retrieve. Retrieve is simply just reading from flash memory, not writing or doing intense computation, just reading from flash memory. The same trend holds here. Still, we could save some energy by just running at low voltage. And then we tried storing to flash memory. Well, you can see that we are performing poorly because we need to pay for those errors. So let's just consider the whole picture together. What would be the case that in-place writes could save some energy? Our hypothesis is that if you have a CPU-bound workload, if you are using CPU more than flash memory, then probably you will be able to save some energy by just lowering your voltage level. To validate our hypothesis, we ran this monitoring application, which is a very common application for something like sensor nodes. We read 256 bytes of accelerometer data from flash memory, and then we did some computation-intensive functions like computing the minimum, maximum, mean, and standard deviation of those data. And then finally, we had few bytes as the result of aggregated data, and we stored that into flash memory. So this workload is a blend of both flash and CPU, but it's more CPU-intensive. Here's the result. We've seen that in-place writes at 1.8 volt helps you to reduce the energy consumption by 34%. And again, I would like to say that in-place writes is working effectively because it's taking advantage of the accumulative behavior of flash memory. Every time you try to write something, you get some more charge stored into flash memory. Here's the detailed result. You can see that the low voltage approaches are saving more energy. But still, even though we are saving more energy using the 1.8, we would like to recommend the 1.9 to provide more reliability and confidence for the storage. We also propose two further improvements for our methods. If you remember, I said the higher the Hamming weight of the number you are storing to flash memory, the lower the probability of error. So one way to take out advantage of that fact is that if you have a number which has a higher which has a high Hamming weight, just store it into flash memory. But if your number is lightweight, just store the complement and also store a sign bit which tells you you store the complement of that number. We have tried this method, this improvement on ECG data, and we have seen a lot of improvement for storing data reliably. Another method was to just have a table which maps the number you use most frequently to the numbers that are easier to write to flash memory, numbers with higher Hamming weights probably. But in summary, I just want to tell you that we've seen in-place writes are effective to lower the energy consumption and working at low voltage. Using our work, microcontrollers can work at a lower voltage, save energy, and get more work done using the same amount of energy they have available. And also, the digital abstractions today are paying a higher price than necessary to provide reliability for storage. And with that, I'll take questions.
Hi, Fred Douglas, EMC. I'm a little bit confused about the distinction between the 1.8 and 1.9 volt measurements you did, because you had the earlier slides when you compared very fine-grained things, 1.86, 1.87, 1.88, and so on. And the higher number, you had virtually no errors, and the lower number, you had too many errors. And then later on, you said, well, you might go back and store in two places, or you might store it twice. But with that 1.8 by itself, that wasn't even on your earlier thing. It seemed like you'd have to store it, you know, 7 or 8 times. So why is 1.8 a useful number to be comparing there? Why isn't it just the higher 1.9 number?
So, that's correct. We are trying to find the voltage interval that works the best. We are not trying to find something that error doesn't happen. And we want to say that we still can work with error. We can correct errors.
I thought you said you basically couldn't correct the errors for something as bad as 1.8, looking at that earlier graph.
It is possible to correct the errors, and the error rate varies chip by chip. So for one chip, you might not get you might get a lot of errors on 1.8, and so you can't compensate for the errors. And that's why I said we recommend the 1.9 volts, so that you can provide more reliability, even though you cannot save as much energy.
Bill Belosky from Microsoft Research. So it seemed to me that maybe you did this and I missed it, but the one thing that you could have done with the in-place writes is do read after write, and if it isn't set, then keep trying.
Yes,
to write.
Yes. I think I mentioned if necessary. So we have this feedback system, and we read from flash memory. If there is an error, then we rewrite to that cell.
Okay, so the numbers you showed were actually doing that? No,
I didn't show that checking, but that's what we are doing. We are rewriting if necessary, if there is an error.
Okay, and what was the effect on the energy use? Because
this is considering that method. This is when you rewrite if necessary. This is not when you just.
Okay, so the numbers you had did that.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just missed that.
Sorry, I should have explained that.
Neerich told you Imagenetics. So you've plotted error rate as a function of voltage. Did you have a look at what effect temperature has on this? Because, right, flash write durations can change, and therefore, with a low voltage, you might get more errors, right, if you're out of range or slightly at the peak.
Yes, we actually did this fun experiment that we use a blow dryer to increase the temperature of our chip, and we have seen that in the in higher temperature, the error rate decreases very much.
Okay. Do you look at the lower temperature too? Because I think on system one chip, right, what happens is that flash, the write duration goes up.
I haven't put it in a fridge, but just talking relatively, I'm assuming that the error rate increases at low voltage, at low temperature.
Okay. Nitin Agarwal, NEC Labs. Nice work. I just had a question on the methodology. So for the in-place writes, you're assuming that every write would be followed by, so you have a read-after-write model for all the writes. Is that typical for these devices that you would have a read to verify a write for
Yeah, I think flash memory has this very distinctive characteristic from other transmission channels, in which when you are writing something, you can check if the error happened or not. In the standard communication channel in information theory, when you send something over the channel, you cannot check what happened until you receive the acknowledgement. For the case of flash memory, yes, you can check that. And we are saying that our method would be the one taking care of that check and rewriting.
The reason I'm a little bit concerned is that I noticed in some of the graphs that there is quite a big variation with different chips and models, right? So the worst case bound on the number of retries could potentially be large and hence affect the energy which you are trying to save in the first place.
Yes, yes, it does, and it depends on the voltage level you are working on.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
Hi, Peter Desnoyers, Northeastern. I just wanted to check, so the chips you're using don't use any form of iterative programming algorithm internally then, as opposed to, you know, typical larger flash chips would do that?
I didn't find any evidence that it does.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Liang Hong from Carnegie Mellon. So you said the number of in-place writes is dependent on the application workload. So do you have any approach to predetermine this value before running?
And determine which, what's the
number
threshold, the number of writes
you need to perform to achieve zero error rate.
So that one thing that depends on the chip, and I think that would be one interesting thing that the fault system level could do for us. If they can tell us what's the reliability they would like to achieve, then we can set this parameter of how many writes we would need.